beautiful Arizona. Saturday morning to you all. John, we're going to do a shotgun round here of questions. This is the homeowners radio program, and we're here to answer those questions. We're not going to bring anyone online in this segment. This is our last one, so we'll do a quick lightning round here. First one, Wayne has a lawn where the Bermuda's already coming up through the rye. What can he do?
Well, it's really dictated by sunlight and temperature, and there's not a lot you can do, you know, to encourage, you know, discourage the Bermuda. And, yeah, it's just a matter of that cycle. There's methods of transitioning from your winter lawn to a summer lawn. I'm not sure all the various steps in terms of changing the mower height and changing the watering. There's a little bit involved, probably a quick call into Think Green would be in order, just to get a heads up on how to do it right. Maybe there's some things you can do to retard the growth of the Bermuda, but I'm not really aware of any.
You can find Think Green Irrigation and Landscape Design on rosieonthehouse.com under the landscape category. We addressed this briefly last week with Jay Harper, and we're kind of early into the summer, about a month ahead, and I like to keep my rye into May. We've got Tinley's birthday party. We usually have it outside on the lawn, and then we kill it off in transition. But because we're so early into the spring, after that last week, and we talked about it, I went home and cut it off so the rye would die off, so the Bermuda was mature by the time May comes.
There you go.
And it might just be one of those years that you have an early Bermuda.
I know. And those of us who have shade like we do, we sometimes enjoy the rye, you know, right
into June.
Yeah, because we just never get the sun.
All right. Next is going through my we got that one.
We did have a question, Romy, about a plum tree that was planted 4 years ago. And the gentleman said it has not grown 1 inch. It's healthy, does what it's supposed to do, but it hasn't grown.
How big was it when he bought it?
Oh, I didn't ask him that. Sorry. That's all I have for you.
I would suggest a couple of things. That it could have been poor quality nursery stock. Occasionally you get a tree that has circling roots. And despite the fact that the tree stays in the ground and gets water and gets fertilizer, the roots were circling inside the container, dropped into the soil, and they continue to circle. And they don't get out into the native soil. They don't really grow and have the nutrient uptake that they need. They don't colonize new soil and re-anchor the tree and translate that into new growth. Sometimes, too, plants can be planted a little bit too deep. This is probably a more common problem than the first one I just mentioned, but make sure that there's not soil above the root flare. Dig down along the trunk until you get to the transition zone where the trunk becomes roots. That should be right at soil grade. If that's 2 or 3 or 4 inches below grade, the tree could simply be suffocating. It doesn't have adequate oxygen. There needs to be at least 8 to 14% oxygen in the soil for root metabolism to take place. And if that's really on the borderline of adequate oxygen, the tree could just barely be surviving. And we've often seen trees languish for a while. When we've discovered trees that are too low in the soil, we've actually dug down to the root collar, then excavated out to a radius of maybe 18, 24 inches, and then terraced the soil. And immediately, trees responded. We had some trees that we gave them a new lease on life. They sat there for years doing nothing. Then we excavated down to the root collar, took out that excess soil, which is above the root collar, and gave the tree some oxygen for the first time.
Now, can you describe what a root collar looks like, or is that an arborist training?
You just dig down until the trunk starts to flare out and become a root. And you'll find those roots at various levels. But sometimes trees will actually push out roots from the trunk tissue when a tree's been planted too deep. That's a little more of a technical issue there, because sometimes you'll dig down and find some roots, but those really aren't the original root flare. Those are adventitious roots that have grown out of the trunk tissue in an effort for the tree to survive. And that sets up some other problems. It usually is not a solution. Sometimes trees don't adapt to the new soil levels and never really do as well as they would have if they'd been planted properly.
A last question. I believe it's Cinda.
Yeah, Cinda has a septic tank in her backyard. She wants to plant a tree back there. The ideal spot she has is 16 feet away from the septic tank, and she's wanting to know, is there a good choice? Is that too close? You know, do you have some suggestions for her?
Well, you trying to get the tree to grow really, really well, put it right on top of the septic tank.
She's worried about, of course, will the roots interfere? Yeah.
Yeah, if it's...
She hasn't planted anything yet. She was looking for suggestions.
I think that's more than adequate distance away. You know, if she's really concerned, you can put a root barrier in around the tree near the septic tank, 16 feet away from that planting site. Put a root barrier, which is we use an 80 mil polypropylene shield. It comes in rolls, and it can be various depths, 2 to 3 feet deep, and trench down and actually put the root barrier in near the hardscape element they're trying to protect, in this case the septic tank, and then plant your tree 16 feet away, and you will never have a problem. I mean, roots are generally grow, 80% of a tree's roots grow in the top 18 inches of soil, 50% in the top 6 inches of soil. Down below 30 inches of depth, which is the, you know, 36 inches of depth, which is the bottom of the root barrier, there's so little oxygen, there's no reason for roots to go below that depth. So even a good 24-inch wide root barrier, which is a common one that we use, is adequate to protect most hardscape elements from encroaching roots.
With a little over 60 seconds left, what would you like to wrap up this hour with?
I just want to remind everybody to beat the bugs to the bite. This is the time to be treating for psyllids on cascalote. Some of you will have caterpillars on your Texas mountain laurels, on your tachomas, on your bougainvilleas. Agave snout weevil is treatment time for those. Some of you have agaves that have been attacked by weevils. We have a preventive treatment that needs to be done now in the spring in anticipation of activity later this year. Also, we have a preventive treatment for ficus whitefly. Those of you who have ficus trees who had some whitefly damage last year, this is a time to do some preventive treatment for those.
How does somebody get a hold of Integrity Tree Service?
Call us at 602-788-0005, or better yet, visit our website at itreeservice.com, the letter itreeservice.com.
And if someone was going to try and sneak into the Master Garden Tour, it starts at?
9 o'clock this morning.
Sonoran Sky Elementary School.
Rosie's Home Improvement Column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.